Okay, this is the November 3rd meeting of the KPFT Governance Committee. I'm the chair, George Reiter. I will call the roll. Lona Elias. Lona? I assume you're muted, Lona, because we can't hear you. Virginia Browning. Stephen Brown. Mal Bernstein.
Here.
Benito Diaz.
Present.
Vanessa Dixon-Briggs. Jose Luis Fuentes Roman.
Present.
William Heerwagen.
Present.
Joseph Kay. Pat Logan. Tony Norman.
Present.
Myself. Tony, are you here?
Yes. No.
Yes, you are. Okay, good. Myself, George Reiter, Lawrence Reyes. Lawrence?
He was
I thought
here.
I heard him. Okay. Serene Roberts? Nancy Saibara Naratomi?
Present.
Margie Wilkinson. Okay, so, one, two.
You didn't
three.
Call me Chuck Anderson?
Oh, Chuck Anderson. That's because my list doesn't have you on it. But I think that's all right. I think it was you're replacing John Wenger.
Yes.
And you didn't call Jose.
No, I did.
Although he's on the call.
I did call him.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Okay, that's Lone Elias. I didn't actually hear you the first time around. Are you still here? Sounds like not. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Nine members is quorum. Okay.
All right. I leave you to your devices. Have a good time. Good night.
Thank you, Mel.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mel.
Nancy, do you have the minutes? I know you provided some the last time we actually had a meeting and we didn't get to approve them. Do you have them again?
I'm looking for them. I sent it right after the meeting, maybe a couple hours after the meeting, but I sent it to the listserv, so I'm looking here.
Okay.
I didn't see it.
Here it is. I found it. September 2nd. Okay, I'm going to forward it.
Excellent.
Shall I forward to you, George, or to...
Yeah, send it. The message that I sent has everybody on the committee on it, except Chuck Anderson, because I didn't... He wasn't on my list. So if you forward it... To that, if you just hit reply all for that, that should get it here to everybody.
So you sent something. When did you send it? Today?
8:30 a.m. today. I sent it. Yes, I sent
okay.
8:30 a.m. today. Yes. That.
What did you send, George?
I sent the agenda, the letter we had sent to Kriegler asking him about possible liability for misinformation put out on the air, and his response. And that's mainly what I wanted to talk about. Let me just ask now, are there any other items for the agenda? So the agenda as it stands really has, besides my report, which is almost... be very short, and the approval of the minutes is just the consideration of the response from John Kriegler, and the issue with there is I think we need to decide whether or not we need to take action on this and make some kind of policy for the network about it.
George, for the agenda, I would like to add
a discussion and a recommendation from this committee to the PMB regarding donations made through estates.
Okay. Can we put it, where do you want to put it, after or before the discussion about legal liability for medical misinformation?
Right after.
Okay. Any objection to that?
Well, not an objection, Jose. Could you explain what's the governance relationship here?
Yeah, well, the short of it is that when any station launches a campaign to solicit bequests from its listeners, and bequests come in, who should be given credit for that bequest? Should it be the national office that gets the money, or should it be the local station? And for unsolicited bequests as well, who should be getting that money? It's been, you know, we need a policy on that, because we have no policy on that, and there seems to be a change in the status quo from what everybody's been doing to something new. And as a governance committee, we should, you know, at least deliberate upon that and see what we think about it, and give our recommendations.
Okay, I guess I'm not too clear why that's a governance issue. I understand what you're saying, but okay.
Okay, so I don't hear then an objection, Benito, to actually putting it on for discussion.
Yeah. I'm not.
Is there anything else that that anybody wants to put on the agenda? Okay. Is there any objection to the agenda then, as with those two items on
the agenda?
What was that, Benito?
Yeah, George, can you repeat it?
I'm sorry. Can you what?
Can you repeat the agenda?
Oh yeah, repeat the agenda. Yeah. So the agenda consists of approval of past minutes, consideration of response from our lawyer John Kriegler, reliability for medical information / recommendations broadcast on the air. Other items as suggested by committee. There's just one that Jose Luis just presented concerning policy about donations. That's it. Adjourn at 10:30.
George Williams.
What number is that?
Right. I heard William first, but then it comes to Benito. But what is it, William?
Okay. Do you have excused absences on there?
There aren't any excused absences on the committees.
Why would you say such a thing as that?
Because that's what
absences are one of the ways people can be put off a committee if they have more than, what is it, if they have three unexcused absences.
If they don't show up for the third after being warned after the two, then they're off the committee.
Yeah, but that's unexcused absences. So if...
No, that's not my understanding of the policy.
What's that?
That's not my understanding of the policy. The policy is... doesn't matter whether it's excused or unexcused.
Okay, I'll let it go. I'll check out my bylaws and next meeting bring it up.
I don't think it's in the bylaws, but do check it out. Anyway, that's been my understanding, and it's come up before. That's on committees. It's not on the PNB. It's on committees.
Okay, I'll look at my bylaws. Thank you.
Okay.
For next time.
Yep. Okay, is there any objection to the agenda then?
I had an amendment, and I think I heard Benito also before.
Serene. Okay. Benito, yes, you did want to say something.
I was just trying to get clarity. I assume approval of minutes is first, and then chair's report is number two, and then Kriegler three?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Serene?
Okay, so two things. I'm trying to find an old note now that I had sent to the committee a few months ago about some agenda items. And there were some things that we were discussing, but for some reason I was trying to get them through the list, and I ended up sending them to you, and not all of them were forwarded to the committee. But I guess for simplicity's sake, I would like to begin tonight with discussing evaluations of LSBs by LSBs, because, you know, we evaluate the station management, supposedly, and the PNB evaluates national management, but pull beyond, you know, the periodic elections where there's so many devices you can't keep track of who's saying what, sometimes, depending on which, you know, which herald you're reading, the board is not examined in terms of its compliance with its duties. So I'd like to add that to the agenda. Sorry, I should not have been speaking to the issue. I should have just been asking about it, putting it on the agenda.
That's fine. That would be, where would you like to have that placed? So far, we have the questions around Kriegler's report first, discussion on recommendations about how to handle bequests. Second, where would you like to put the evaluation of LSBs by LSBs?
We can put it last. I'm raising it last. As a procedural issue, why don't we ever assign time limits to these things? I mean, that's why we end up having, you know, a full meeting without getting too many things, because there's no limit to, and although it's a committee, you can apportion time to various items to make sure you get to things.
That's not my reading of Robert's rules, is that you can't, you can't close debate on a committee, basically. And it's set up, the reason for that is you want people to be able to air the thing fully. So,
yeah, but you also want to be able to get to other things. I think that's incorrect, but, you know, I don't have the citation right now, so I guess we'll go through and see what we can manage to do. But, you know, if you can have one thing on the agenda about which people can speak for 3 hours, then you don't get through your agenda.
It sometimes happens, but we did clear our entire agenda at the last meeting that we had, so.
Could I just speak to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just on the elections committee, we often and routinely set time limits for agenda items, routinely.
Okay, that's not my understanding of what the rules are. If there's no other, can we approve the agenda with the three items on it, the minutes approval, and my brief report? Is there any objection to the agenda? Any other additions? Okay, hearing no objections then, we'll commence with the approval of the minutes. And Nancy, you sent them out again, is that right?
Yes, I just sent it out. Sorry it took so long. But I sent you first alone, so you should have had it like maybe 10 minutes ago, maybe 5 minutes ago. But I sent to everybody. I had to type it in. I don't know why I could not copy and paste. I don't know why it wouldn't do it, so having technical problems. So I sent about maybe to everybody, to the whole group, but I sent George an additional one at about maybe, when was it?
You know, I haven't got it. Does anyone else?
Well, it'll take a while because I just sent to everybody.
I got it. I got it with every you. It went to your school address.
That's how you.
Oh, sorry.
Nancy, would you send it again to my Gmail address?
The 10 one? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So this was actually, if it's the minutes, I think it is, we'd actually had it one time before, but we didn't get it in time to approve it. We had a rule that we needed 7 days in advance notice to look them over before approving them. And I'm hoping you all are looking them over right now, looking it over right now.
She sent this to us 2 months ago. What are you saying about 7 days?
Well, it didn't go. I don't know if everybody got it. I sent it to the PacGov at Yahoo Groups. Did everybody get it?
It was sent 2 months ago, so we had a rule. It had 7 days in advance, but at the time, at that meeting, it hadn't been sent 7 days in advance, so we didn't consider it. But it certainly has been now. It's been 2 months in advance, so. We can certainly consider it tonight, and I hope we will, and I hope I get it so I can participate in that.
I've lost your address, George. I don't know, the 10 one, I'm getting another one. Could somebody send it to George? I don't know why the 10 thing.
I'll tell you what it is. It's not a secret. It's GREITER10@gmail.com.
GREITER10@gmail.com. Okay. Sorry. Oh, now it came up. Okay. Okay, I sent it just now.
Okay, thank you. Well, do you all need another minute or two to read through it, or can we take a vote on approving the minutes? And there it is. Very good. I got it. Thank you, Nancy. So these are the September 1st meeting minutes. And... Are there any objections to the minutes? Okay, hearing none, the minutes of September 1st are approved. Thank you, Nancy, for getting that together. The next item is my report on the question about liability for medical information broadcast on the air. I did send the letter I had drafted and you all approved to John Prophet, who did forward it to John Kriegler, who did respond, and you have his response, and that's mainly what I would like to discuss for this section. In the letter, he suggests that we should probably look to see what our insurance is on this as well. And I have requested that, but I never got anything back about it. So I don't know what the situation is with the insurance. What I would like to do is to discuss this. There was a particular situation involved, which is part of the letter. But I don't really want to discuss the particular situation or the rights and wrongs of that, but just assuming that information goes out over the air, which somebody following, and we do put out medical advice over the air, I suppose other things that one might think are harmful, but that seems to be the most direct. Assuming that's the case, do we need to do anything to protect the foundation from a possible lawsuit? So that was really the question that I asked Kriegler in some detail. Various kinds of circumstances, and you have his response, and you have the letter. So I just like to open it up for discussion. Benito, go ahead.
Yeah, I have to confess that I haven't seen either the letter, although I vaguely remember you reading it. And I certainly did not see the response. So could you just summarize for us?
I will send it to you right now. I don't understand why. I assumed I had everybody in the email I sent out, but let me just make sure.
No, I'm not saying I sent it. I just didn't happen to see it.
Oh. Oh, okay. Now, let's see. I'm going to forward the original version. It seems to have the attachment still on it. Okay, you should have it in a moment or two, Benito. Does anybody else want to comment on this? Well, if not, let me say what my sense of it is. My sense of Kriegler's letter is that yes, we could be at some risk. That if the information presented on the air is presented as advice, and typically it is. At least I've heard stuff on my own station, which was not only advice, but advice which, in my opinion, was very bad advice, that if someone follows it, and it is, in fact, bad advice, that they can sue us, and that typically what happens is, at least this is what Kriegler said, they sue everybody they can possibly sue, and then you have to prove that you're somehow not responsible for that. Now, one recommendation we could make is that whenever we put out medical advice, that we also put a disclaimer in the show, which I know that we don't do at KPFT on any regular basis. I don't know what it is at the rest of the stations. According to Kriegler, doesn't make you flameproof. That you can still be sued, you might still lose, but it at least says that you're, you know, alerting people to the possibility, so your responsibility somehow is fulfilled by doing that, and perhaps you would not be sued, but you would not be liable. So I think that's one thing we could suggest as a policy, that when medical information is put out on the air, that we issue a disclaimer for all of it, not just some of it. That would allow producers to put on whatever they thought, and perhaps protect the network. But there's still a perhaps in that. So anyway, that would be one policy I think we might put together and send for approval to the PNB. What do you
think of that? Back on this, George, when you get
Lona?
Yes, can you finish?
And Tony?
Tony? Okay, go ahead, Lona.
Just to further flesh out what he said, that even though that we should look at what type of agreement was made between the volunteer programmers as opposed to the people that are paid on air staff. But the volunteer programmers, in terms of what liability that person assumes or doesn't assume in being on the airway. The other thing that he mentioned, that whereas they can go after anybody that they choose to go after, that most of the time that they are dismissed, however the person, you know, ends up being sued. And that the piece that you said about in terms of having a disclaimer, that just I find it shocking a little bit that that's just not done perfunctory anyway, that that's just not standard procedure, because I know that it has been at WPSW. I don't know that it still is, but for many, many years. It was one of the points that I'm sorry I long said, because I can't find my notes that I wrote on it. Thanks.
Tony?
Yeah, I was going to raise the concern in addition to the policy that you just mentioned. I think Alona touched on some of this. The stations and specifically need to look at the arrangements and agreement it has with the program. And something it should go is some sort of disclaimer should go in that agreement with the program, be it volunteer or paid program, depending on the nature of the program. Also, that the station doesn't assume or make any, guarantees or claims that the programmer may make in regards to these medical issues or cures for what have you. So that we need to, the station needs to look at the arrangement it has with programs on this policy also, in addition to the disclaimer. That disclaimer, there should be some sort of disclaimer in those agreements. Or if there isn't, if there is an arrangement, I guess some of them don't have written arrangements with the stations, some programmers. So something need to, a policy need to deal with that issue also.
Do you have any suggestions of what the policy with regard to agreements between the station and the programmers might look like?
I mean, it depends on like some programs. Like if you're giving out medical advice or cures, I think there should be some disclaimer that protects the station that says it is that the program understands that the advice and the claims that the person makes is not the advice from the station, that the station is not sanctioning those cures or advice. So a disclaimer should speak to that. The exact language, it would have to be wordsmith, but something to protect the station on that end.
Yeah.
Loan it back to the SAC, I'm sorry, unless someone else wants to speak to it.
Well, does anyone else want to speak to it who hasn't spoken? Well, go ahead, Loan.
I just wanted to piggyback on what Tony said, that in addition to not only the opinions that you are about to hear, and at the end of the show, the opinions that you heard were simply that of the guests and not necessarily of the producer of the program or the radio station or the Pacifica Foundation. The other thing, too, that it is not meant to be medical advice, and that you should consult with, as with anything in terms of your health, you should consult with the physician before engaging in any blah, 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 blah. And so that should be boilerplate also. Not only that it's not the opinion of Pacifica or its management, but in addition to that, if it's specifically a medical advice show, that it's not to take the place of their own physician and encourage them before doing anything that they should consult with their physician. It could be an exercise show or, anything like that, too. So,
we have one show that actually immediately precedes mine in which it's a woman who's a doctor, and she does give advice, medical advice, and it's presented as, this is my best medical opinion. So
even in that instance, excuse me for jumping in, even in that instance, even though it's her medical opinion, but it's not to take the place of her consulting her own physician, and that should be a standard boilerplate that is required to be played before and after such shows. And whereas it can't cover everything, it goes a long way towards, putting that, I can't even find the word, I'm so tired. It's like a firewall, I guess, to some extent, for the station, for the network.
This is Serene.
Go ahead. Was that Serene?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, so thanks. I'm looking at the response, and he does talk about putting language in, and he does talk about examining the insurance policy, which I think we need to do on many levels anyway. So I would like to, I don't think we can parse this out on the phone tonight. I would like to propose that we form a working group of members of governance on a voluntary basis to come up with suggested language to be included in any programmers agreement and suggested language to be part of, you know, the regular announcements that are done on the station and not simply attached to an individual program.
Yeah. Okay. I'd also like to see what our insurance policy, as it exists, says about it, too, and fold that into whatever we make in the way of a policy.
I didn't understand something that Serene said. Could she just explain some part of it?
Yeah. What's the question?
The last part of it, Serene, you said not a disclaimer that's played, but not as attached to any particular show. I didn't understand that part of it.
I should say not only attached to shows that are known to deal with health or medical issues, because, you know, someone may have a generic program that isn't specifically a health program, but they have on someone with a medical background. And no one may think to play the disclaimer before that program because maybe the person normally does deals with politics. But here they're talking about healthcare and politics. You know what I'm saying?
If I understand you correctly, I'm sorry, guys, if I'm out of order. So you're saying that before every show, this disclaimer is played?
Just as a general announcement. For example, there's an NPR station here that at least once a week makes this announcement about contests and so forth, and it excludes all staff of the station, and you can only participate once a month, and that sort of thing. It's just a wraparound, a very broad statement. So however the station, whether it comes up in its community announcement, wherever, we just want to... Oh, who is that? Somebody's background is noisy. I just think we should put it in more than just one place or just before an established health program. It's broadening our protection. It's not narrowing it.
So Serene actually had a particular suggestion about what it would look like, but also another suggestion about that we create a work group to come up with a actual first draft of a policy on this, presumably to include both policy on disclaimers, and this question could be part of that conversation. Would it be just for shows, or would it be a sort of broad, every now and then, I gather? And also about the kind of agreements we need with programmers. What do they say? So is there an interest in doing that? Are there any? Serene, would you be willing to be part of that work group?
I'm overcommitted, but you know, maybe I'll join the second meeting or something. I'm stressed right now.
Yeah. This is Jose Luis George for the SAC.
Yes, go ahead, Jose.
You know, I'm not against any work group, but I think we need to take some immediate action given Kriegler's letter. And, you know, I would like the governance committee to recommend to the PMB that, at the very minimum, if any medical shows are going to be played on any of our stations, there be disclosures often, and as often as possible, and the alternative not to have them at all, because it's too much risk at this point with the, until we find out all the insurances and the contracts that we, once these folks do get on the air, and we still have, that's my, I guess, motion that we recommend to the PMB to pass immediately, not to have any of these medical shows unless there's proper insurance and disclosures, and until this working group comes up with a formal written policy.
So
it does back.
So Jose Luis's motion is that we come up with a recommendation with some wording about what the disclaimer should look like, which should be, and the recommendation should be that it goes on every show for which there is some medical information being purveyed. Is that correct, Jose Luis?
Yes, George.
Lost it a sec.
So let's talk about that, and we can try to work out, if we want to do that, we'll try to work out what it would actually say. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Would it be appropriate for Mr. Kriegler to draft the disclaimer, Jose Luis?
Well, if we want to spend the money, yes, or Tony, myself, Robert Mark can do it.
That's
basically
right. Elias can do it.
Yeah, you can go on the internet and see what these like MedMD are saying, you know, on their website, and we can adopt one of those.
Benito, good point of information.
Yeah, go ahead, Benito.
Jose Luis, can you repeat the motion and clarify it? Or just repeat it?
Sorry, you talking to me?
No, I was talking to
Jose
Luis.
Yeah.
It's that all Pacifica radio stations not air any medical show without having proper disclosures and insurance from the host to indemnify Pacifica should we get sued.
Wow.
Well, there's two pieces to that. I'm sorry,
let me make sure I understand.
Yeah.
The last phrase, Jose Luis, unless the show has
Benito, it's just, you have, and I'm sorry to be short about this, but it's in Kriegler's letter. I mean, he spells it out. One is, you know, we need disclosures saying that something to the extent Pacifica Radio does not endorse the viewpoints of the speaker, and we recommend that you contact your primary physician before taking any action, something to that extent. That, I mean, Kriegler doesn't say that, but we need a disclosure is the one thing that Kriegler says. The second thing that we need, that Kriegler says, is a contract that these people who are being put on our airwaves have proper insurance to indemnify us should there be a lawsuit in the future. That's the second thing. The third thing that he recommends is going to look at not the FCC, but look at one of the other federal agencies that deals with medical issues and see how they what they recommend and or what they say not to do. That's going to require some more research. That's not Kriegler, but something that either myself, Tony, Mark, any of you, we all can do. This go to one of those sites and see what that agency deals with. That's the third thing. So those were the three things that I got from Kriegler's letter. One is to have disclosures. Two is to make sure the host has insurance enough to indemnify us. And three is to look at these other agencies that aren't the FCC to see anything that they require.
Okay, but
Excuse me, Lonnie is next on the stack.
Go ahead, Serena. I already spoke, or whoever that was.
Well, okay, so I think Lona did, Lona did want to speak.
Lona was next, let me stop.
And then I have Benito, and then I have, I'm not sure who, Serena or Lawrence, I'm not sure.
So, no, I just wanted to request the motion in writing.
Yeah. Jose Luis, could you do that? It's now a three-part motion, actually.
I'm not at a computer, so if I can repeat it.
Okay, Nancy, are you in a position to write it or somebody?
Yeah, yes, I can. If Jose will say it one more time, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the governance committee recommends to the PMB that they immediately adopt a policy that if a medical show is going to be aired on Pacifica's radio waves, there be proper indemnification insurance from the speaker.
Wait, just a minute. If a medical show be aired
on Pacifica's radio waves,
okay,
there be proper indemnification insurance by the speaker . That's part one. Part two,
okay,
is that the Pacifica employee or volunteer provide disclosures.
It's called disclaimer.
Provide disclosures. Hey, Judith.
Provide disclosure or disclosures? Is it
I think he means disclaimer.
Disclosures or disclaimers?
Oh, disclaimers. Okay.
I think that's what Jose Luis had in mind. Jose Luis, you're still there?
Yeah. Yes, I'm still here. And the third thing is that there be a working group formed to look into other federal agencies to see what their recommendations are. That's it.
Okay.
Look into other federal agencies.
Okay, Nancy, when you get that typed up, would you just send it out to everybody?
I'm sorry. Other agencies, to look into other federal agencies. What was the next words? Jose? Does anybody remember? To look into other federal
for what,
agencies.
What their requirements are.
Oh.
What you're allowed to say on the air and what you aren't allowed to say on the air in that regard.
For other requirements. Did we lose Jose? Okay. Anyway, I'll clean this up a little bit and I'll send it.
I'm going to send you Chuck Anderson's email as well.
Okay.
Well, actually, I don't have it. Let me see if I have it.
I have it.
Okay, good. Good. So you have an updated list then. I didn't. Okay. So, Lona, you're next, and then Lawrence, and then Benito. Lona, Benito, and then Lawrence.
Okay, I feel that there is a need for something to happen immediately, because, I'm surprised that other stations are not just doing it perfunctory, that there's not a disclaimer that's automatically played before and after every medical show that's on the air right now. I'm really surprised that that's not. So I feel that it is of the essence that it happens right away. A work group, to me, is going to take some time. I don't know that Kriegler recommended, according to his letter. That's point one. I think it's something that needs to happen right away. The language can be crafted and typed up and written. You guys can look at it and approve it, or just and mark it up. I mean, in 30 minutes or less than that. It's the other thing is that I think to require. My understanding is Kriegler suggested that we look at what type of contract and agreement that the station has with the on-air personnel. All right, I don't remember him saying that requiring the people to have insurance to indemnify them in order to be on our airways. I think that that is creating a burden that was not suggested in his letter, or my reading and understanding of it did not get that. I think that that's creating a burden, and that there are going to be repercussions of that that are not necessarily being perceived in the way that that particular motion is structured to require them to be indemnified in order to go on the airway. And the other piece in terms of I think to put together a working agreement or some type of agreement between the programmers and the station that would provide, that would indemnify the station against the actions of the on-air host if they did a call to action that somehow violated laws of federal agencies. I think that part of it is something that's valid, and Serene suggested that before. So I'd be in support of that in terms of that work group. I'm willing to write some language from disclaimers that I've heard and seen and read and present it to the committee within a week, and so that we can have that available, and would support another motion that simply requires that immediately some kind of disclaimer goes on every medical show that's on the airways right now. I would really support a motion to that. The rest of the stuff I'm not willing to support because it's beyond the pale of what was recommended by the attorney, and period. Thank you.
Well, what I'd like to do is to separate the questions. So there are really three issues there, and I don't think there's necessary as far as the disclaimers is needed, as far as the disclaimer is concerned, to have another motion, because it was clear in Jose Luis's presentation that this was an urgent matter. He felt it as well. So I think the first item should be the question of the disclaimer. The second item should be the question of what kind of indemnification do we expect the people who are guests to have. And then the third item should be putting together a working group to find out what's out there in terms of sort of federal restrictions on this kind of thing. Is there any objection to doing that? Is to separating these into three separate items?
I object, George, because I have an amendment that I'd like to offer.
And okay. And
this will inform my amendment to. And not be able to be offered. So that's my only objection.
What's your amendment, Florence? Go ahead. Let me see. I'm sorry. Benito is next. So there is an objection. So we'll just set that aside for a while and continue the discussion. Benito, you're next, and then Lawrence.
Well, I was going to, first of all, I support the general concept that Osada, that you're trying to put in place. And I agree with Lona that we need something right away. I am sort of surprised that stations don't have anything. At PFW, I know that Bob Daughtry developed a statement a couple of years ago, shortly before he was fired, and that is played ever so often, but I don't know how consistently it's played. A disclaimer. I find, like Lona, I find parts of this motion to be very problematic. You got people that have been on the air producing shows for 10 and 20 years, and all of a sudden you're going to slap a requirement on them. They ain't even getting paid. And you're going to require that they provide insurance? And they're not the ones that are giving the advice. It's the guests. So I think that we need to be about where we ascribe responsibility. And, of course, the programmer has a certain responsibility. The guest certainly has responsibility. The station has responsibility. But I think that all of these things need to be studied and worked out. And I certainly don't think, I mean, if we need insurance for the guests or for the programmer, then so be it. If that's what's required, we need to do whatever. But can y'all hear me?
Yes.
It's just that I lost contact earlier, and I thought I lost it again. But okay. So all I'm saying is that maybe this Jose Luis, you're jumping too quick, you know, because we need to protect the programmer too, just like we need to protect Pacifica. That's all I'm saying.
Let me just add that Kriegel is actually talking about in terms of requiring some kind of insurance that would indemnify the station for third-party productions. So if we put something on from, I don't know, PRI or something like that is what I think he's talking about, as opposed to, you know, our own volunteer programmers. I'm not sure about that, but I think that that's the case. Lawrence, you're next anyway. Go ahead.
So I have an amendment. You know, one of the things that our station does is present a lot of hokey-pokey stuff and almost promise that if these persons will pick up, our listeners will pick up the premium, that they will be rich or that they will live longer or, you know, a lot of stuff like that. So what I'd like to amend is not just medical issues, but health and spirituality. And then I would like to motivate that real quick. I'm motivated by stating that two of the agencies we have to look into is the American Medical Association and the American Psychological Association, because it's systemic to the point where we're depending and we're really pushing our people and almost guilt-tripping them into getting these premiums, and that, you know, their whole life will change, or that they will live in abundance and they will get rich and they will stay younger and that they will function better psychologically. This is what I've been listening to, at least in our signal area. So that's my amendment, is that to strike medical opinions and insert health and spirituality.
To strike or to include in addition?
Okay, either way, to include it in addition or to strike medical opinions and just put health and spirituality, because I believe it captures...
Health includes medical, you're saying.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Okay, so that's an amendment. Anybody want to speak to that?
I'd just like to speak in support of what Lawrence just said. There's a lot of wild claims on KPFK about the mentioned subjects of longer-lasting life and becoming rich and spiritual promises. And so I'd just like to support what Lawrence said.
Anybody else want to speak to the amendment?
This is Ray.
Yes, Ray.
I am wondering whether it would be not a good idea to put this issue on hold and have the IUD raise it with general managers when they do their weekly conference call, whatever day that is. It's going to be sometime later this week, to see what they already have in place. We know what we do and do not hear on the air, but we do not know whether what we hear on the air is consistent with any policy. So I think it's fine to pass certain motions. I would not pass any motions that require people go insure themselves before they continue their show, although I have concerns about some of the things that are said on the air. I think we can ask the managers, ask the IED to have the managers immediately implement a generic disclaimer while we actually do research to what may be the best language to use. So I understand that some folks want to act right away, but I don't want us to, like, you know, sort of go overboard and asking people to get insurance, you know, paid or not. I mean, we're talking about Crickle himself talks about third-party things versus what programmers, ordinary programmers, have to do, outside programming versus in-house programming. And we should also make that distinction when we're making requests or demands.
Let me try to get some sense about Lawrence's amendment before we. I'll take up your suggestion again, Serene. But specifically, is there any objection to Lawrence's amendment to extending, basically, the disclaimers, whatever their status is at the moment, to health and spiritual, basically. Benito, go ahead.
Maybe we should also add, if it's okay, Lauren, psychological.
I assume that that's what was spiritual was intended to include that, and is that correct, Lawrence?
Well, I wouldn't make that assumption. That's why I added.
Yeah,
that's correct. Spiritual, the way it's being presented is. It's psychologically therapeutic. I'm in the field, and so, I mean, that's the way it's being presented on the air. So, I mean, I appreciate Benito's intention, but I think health and spirituality is meant that health is medical and spirituality is psychological, you know, pop psychology, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, so no objection to that then. So with the, it seems to me that the amendment doesn't actually prevent the motions from being divided into three. It's really, it basically you can tack it on to all three, but we can still discuss whether to immediately move forward with trying to put together a disclaimer. Serene's suggestion is that we not do that. I gather that we postpone the discussion, although that's not quite what she said. And we ask the IED to bring the question up to the general managers to get some feedback as to what actually they think is in place. Is that correct, Serene?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can make policy in a rush. And although this idea has been on our agenda, this issue has been on the agenda for a while, this is the first time we're discussing it. And I get what people are saying. I get the concerns. But, you know, we could end up broadening that to cover all of our programming. So I just think we need to be a little more deliberative.
Yeah. Jose Luis for the stack.
Yeah, go ahead, Jose Luis.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with Serene. We need to be more deliberative on issues, but I think one of the problems that plagues Pacifica is that we are too deliberative on every little single thing that we do to our detriment. And when we have attorneys threatening us to sue us because this management made decisions on medical stuff that has been airing, and we have now a letter from our attorney telling us in black and white what the problems are. We can't just
deliberate upon what our attorney has told us. Krigler has been quite specific on what needs to happen. So we just need to recommend it, and then the PMB can deliberate as much as they want. If they want to pass it, that would be the prudent manner to go forward. But we can't just deep six this into more deliberations that will be either forgotten or will have other pressing business. We just need to get it done.
This is Serene.
Go ahead, Serene.
I think, right. Well, someone else was trying to speak. I know I just spoke.
Well, I wanted to suggest that we could actually incorporate, I think, Serene's suggestion into something Lona had said, which was that rather than trying to hash out a disclaimer right here and now, she was willing to make a draft to get back to the committee within a week. And in that time, I can ask the IED to bring it up with the general managers and give us feedback as to what actually they think is in place as far as policy and also practice and any disparity between the two. So would that work for everyone? So we would actually move forward with this and fold the information in. We couldn't actually bring a motion to the PMB until the next meeting, but we could certainly raise the issue immediately use the interim time to sort of craft what we think the policy ought to be.
What I was going to say is that it's not as though our vote tonight is going to have immediate effect anyway. The PMB's meeting on Thursday. The GMs are probably meeting by Thursday, so both things can happen. Although I don't necessarily know that either meeting has room for this at the top of its priority list, which, as you know, is ever-growing. But, yes.
Okay, so
Nancy, I'm stuck.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Go ahead and finish what you were going to. You and Serene were
Is there any objection then to doing that? That we approve the first part that we need a disclaimer. We find out. I'll at least request of the IED that she find out what the general managers think is in place, and get it back to us. And we'll use that information to actually craft a disclaimer, which will include both health and spiritual aspects of what's going on over the year. So is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none. There's still two other issues that I think need discussion, which is the question of what's out there in terms of federal regulations and stuff that we should be aware of, which Krigler said he was not really, you know, on top of that because he's FCC lawyer. And then the other question was, what can we do to protect, or what can we require of people who are on the air and presenting this kind of information, whether third party or in-house, in the way of if it winds up causing some harm, that we are indemnified, so to speak. So anyway, those two items are still up for discussion. And Nancy, you have the floor.
Yes. It doesn't change too much, but I did go back and listen to our doctor show that we have at KPFT, and she has a really fast speaker, and at the beginning she's playing music, and she does say a very short sentence. She says two things. This is not meant to replace any medical treatment, and you should check with your own physician before you do something. Okay. And then during her show, I have heard her actually say, go check with your doctor first. But she does not do it automatically each time. Just sometimes she sprinkles. So it just I wanted you to know that she's a fast talker, but she does say that. It's in the beginning of her show. It's already recorded. It's music, and she's talking about it. And at the end, she says, please refrain from from language that would be offensive, and so she adds that too. But she doesn't say, like, you know, giving Pacifica, disclaiming any responsibility of Pacifica. She does not say that.
Got it. Thank you for that, Nancy. Benito, go ahead.
I was going to ask, wouldn't it also make sense to Jose, you could develop, to do some of this research at the same time and develop some more legal language while the other stuff is happening as well? Jose Luis. Can anybody hear me?
We hear you, Benito. I think Jose Luis is muted. I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. I was muted. I missed the question.
Benito, would you be willing to do some of the investigation into whatever kind of federal regulations are out there, at the same time that we were sort of putting together the disclaimer?
Yes.
Good. So, and then I think for the question about what kind of things to require of either third party or in-house people who are providing the information, I think I'll include that question with what I asked the IED to refer to the general manager, so we'll get some feedback about that as well. And that's certainly very close to what, you know, I mean, that we certainly need to do that, because that's very close to personnel relationships and so on that I'm sure the general managers are going to want to weigh in on. So if that's okay, that is basically referring the first two pieces of this to try to get a response back from the general managers. We'll put together a disclaimer in the meantime. And Jose Luis, and is anybody else willing to work on trying to figure out what's out there in the way of federal regulations?
Point of information, Nancy.
Yes.
Isn't it Mr. Kriegler's job? Is that his territory?
Not exactly. He says in the letter that most of these regulations are not FCC. There are things like, he mentions it actually, he says right at the beginning, Federal Trade Commission and the Food and Drug Administration.
Huh?
Generally defers to other federal agencies such as the Federal Trade Commission and the Food and Drug Administration. So that's certainly the two places to go look first. So that's the answer to the question. So is there any objection then to proceeding in that way?
Point of information. So to proceed in that way means we make a motion that we ask the IED to talk to the GMs about including a disclaimer. In the meanwhile, a Band-Aid. Okay. All right. And then we do that tonight.
I will send the message to the IED immediately. Yes.
Oh, okay, so it's a motion, a pass motion?
Well, I'm asking if there's any objection to that.
Oh, I see.
Hearing no objection.
Yeah, this is William. I think I just saw an email from Serene that made that, turned it into motion language.
Oh. Okay, what does it say? Serene's still here.
Everybody.
What does it say?
I had raised it as something that we might do in addition to. Well, I might have raised it as something we should do instead in checking to see what was actually there, and then Jose Luis spoke, and I was convinced that, and George repeated what he had said, which is essentially that we can do both at the same time. So the language to contact the IED is what I just sent to people.
Okay, so Then I hear no objection then to going forward in that way, and I will do that this evening and make as clear as I can what the issues are.
And I just suggest that we send the letter to the managers so that they can actually see what Krigla is saying.
Very good idea.
You don't have to paraphrase it. They can just read it.
Very good idea. Yes. I don't have it. Anybody got any idea how easy access to get the GM's email addresses? I'll find it. It must be on the website somewhere.
No, I'm saying if you're sending it to Lydia, she can just forward it to them along with.
Of course, she's got them. Absolutely. I'll make that as an attachment. Yes.
This is Jose Luis George. I have to get off the phone now, so I won't be able to speak to my agenda item.
Okay.
I'll take it up next time.
Okay, it'll be on next time.
I'll most of postpone it when you get to it.
Okay.
We're at it, so.
I move to postpone the bequest policy issue until the next governance. Until high on the list of the next governance committee meeting agenda when the director who brought it is present.
Yeah, is there any objection?
Do you want to type that, Nancy?
Is there any objection to doing that? Okay, hearing none, it will be first on the list. Okay, Serene, the next one is the evaluation of the LSBs by the LSBs. That was your motion. Would you like to, actually it isn't quite a motion. It's a discussion at this point, but would you introduce it?
Right. So the Article 7 of our bylaws, I think, I'm not looking at them right now, describe the duties and responsibilities of each LSB and, you know, in addition to whatever the PMB might assign from time to time. But certainly that Article 7 is crucial in terms of how the boards are to function, are expected to function. And I actually think it would be a great idea to have some sort of survey coming from the governance committee to all LSB members asking how well they think their LSB has performed in that regard. Now, whether we want to do a survey of the full 120 or a survey of, you know, 24 and 24, you know, five separate surveys. I think it's an important opportunity, particularly the comments that would come along with them, if they are nonpartisan and intended to be useful. It could be a good opportunity for us to figure out why, you know, we meet most of us once a month and not enough stuff that we're supposed to do gets done. I would propose a work group to formulate the questions. I don't think we can really do it justice at 10:15 right now.
Sure. Let me say, however, that there was just such an evaluation which was circulated by one of the members of the PNB at the KPFT LSB. It was not promoted by the LSB itself, so basically it didn't. It just sat around. I don't think anybody filled it out and handed it in. However, I can send that to the working group for, you know, consideration. Should we form a working group? So I hear Serene's your motion then is that we form a working group to put together a questionnaire or a survey. I guess it'd be more like it. For self-evaluation of the LSPs and all five LSPs. Is that correct?
Right. I mean, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Would you...
To the staff?
Yeah, go ahead, Lona.
Oh, finish your thought, George.
Well, I was just going to ask Serena if she was willing to be on it.
Reluctantly. I mean, yes.
Okay.
So my question is this. You mentioned that KPFT, you said there was one that was done. Can you share that with this body so that we can?
I'm going to have to find it first, but the answer is yes, I can, and I will.
Yes, that may, if it's something that we look at and we feel that, I mean, that might save us time in terms of even forming the work group and stuff. If that's something that can happen in a timely manner, I don't know.
I'm just saying,
if it's something that we could use. and make sure of our
I can find it and copy it and send it in 10 minutes, but or 15, but I can certainly get it to everybody by tomorrow.
Can I, well, I don't know if we can form a working group in advance. Why don't we just form the working group, John and George will send the stuff to us, and if it turns out that it's, like, pretty darn near perfect, then we have no work.
Well,
because this committee is not going to meet for another month, I assume.
That's correct.
So we don't want to wait to decide in December that we're sending out a survey, which then would go out as people are literally walking out the door, because our terms, you know, the boards are going to be reconstituted in December.
Well, who would like to be on the working group to do that? We can certainly send this out by tomorrow. I'll send it out to everybody on the LSB.
The LSB.
I'm sorry, on this committee. I'll make it, would anyone else like to be, well, let's see. So would anyone else like to be on the working group to revise it I guess if it's the consensus of the committee that it needs revision? How would that be?
Without us seeing it, how could we have a consensus about it if you're not going to...
Well, I'm suggesting that we send it out and you all look at it first and then refer it back to the working group if it seems to be needed, if, you know... I don't want to prevent anybody from working on this.
I think we're fine with the original suggestion, is that the working group is going to be formed. George and anyone else who has something can send it to the working group. The working group will come up with something, including, you know, an attachment, the attachment that George is sending out, and say, well, you know, here's what we received from George. Here's what we received, you know, from Jose Luis. Here's what we've come up with. Shall we send it? If no change is needed, then, you know, great. If people come up with additions or subtractions, that too comes before the committee in December, but we'll be ready to go in December with some version of something.
Let me just make sure we have a consensus that we want to do this. Is there any objection to putting together a self-evaluation for the LSPs? Okay, good. So then the only question is how to do it. Is anyone else want to speak to how to do it? So we have Serene's suggestion, form a working group, send everything to them. I don't see any point in not sending it to everybody anyway, but you all have the responsibility for deciding whether you think it needs to be enhanced or it's okay, and we'll get back to the whole committee before the next meeting, so we actually have something we can approve and send out, at least for approval by the PNB. So anybody else want to speak to that? Anybody have any other suggestions as to how to proceed? Okay, hearing none then, would anyone else like to be on this working group?
This is William. Is anybody on it already?
Serene.
Nope. Yes.
That was a yes? Okay, good.
I'll go. Yeah.
Okay, so Serene and William, anybody else?
Nancy.
Okay, Mario. Sorry, who's that?
Lawrence,
okay. Anyone else?
You can, if you don't join tonight, you can send an email and join tomorrow. I mean, wide open to any member of the committee.
Sure. Okay, so we will do that. I will find this thing. I'm mostly certain I can get it by tomorrow. I will send out the email to the IED as promised with the attachment. And is there anything else anyone wants to say about before we close?
Nancy?
Yeah,
I'm going to send an email of the name of that show, and it's 6 p.m. Fridays, and you can check the archives, and it's the first few seconds. Maybe that'll help George.
Okay, good.
When I have more time, I'll try to send the wording. It's a very short two-part sentence. That's all. It's not very long.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Good. Anything else? Anyone? Okay.
George.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, actually, I'll send it to you offline. There's a problem with your email address.
Yeah, I know. It's not functioning. My university email address isn't working. The Gmail account.
Yeah, because you put the wrong address when you set it up. You typed your Gmail account wrong. I'll send it to you.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay. Meeting turned then.
I have one question. But this is not for tonight. It is for the future. I was thinking to put an agenda item like asking staff to do a vote of confidence of the manager, and that a required 2/3 majority would be necessary to keep our manager or keep the program director. Would this be under governance, or would this be under?
Yeah, under governance, be a bylaw amendment.
It would be illegal.
I don't know, but somehow give some leverage to the staff. Okay, well, I think the next time we meet, maybe we better start scheduling another bylaws schedule.
That's one of the proposals I made for our agenda a couple of months ago. I got to go look back through my old email. There were a few things that I had raised that we didn't.
Okay, well, it's done. Let's put it on the next month's agenda then.
What is it that you want on next month's agenda? I don't quite get it.
A schedule for another bylaw amendment schedule, process of making new bylaws.
Well, let me say that you could probably cast something like what you want, which is basically an evaluation of the management by the staff. I mean, you could have a.
So I've got to think about
an evaluation form that you send to the staff and forward that to the LSB, which would retain the decision is about whether to recommend termination or not, without doing a bylaws amendment for sure, and we give.
Well, no, you don't need a bylaws amendment, and I'm not sure that that's not as much personnel as governance, because we have five people in the same position, and we have five very different ways of evaluating them around the network. That itself is problematic, but because they have the same job title and the same responsibilities, although we know local things are always slightly different from each other, but more than that, any station board can set up a process that includes, and I can't imagine why it wouldn't include, anonymous surveys to staff, allowing them to provide information about their experience under a particular manager. But how you integrate it and what you use it for is very different. It can be an absolute, if you get 2/3, this person goes. And if you get, whatever, this person stays. It can't be that.
Oh.
Well, I just picked that number out of a hat because the government...
No, I understand. But I'm saying I don't think we can use that sort of naked math. I think it... Anyway.
Becomes...
if you wish, bring it up, at the next meeting.
Okay, I'm open to any suggestion that anybody wants to call me or send me an email.
Okay.
Or is that illegal? I'm sorry.
No, but it might be immoral. Anyway. Hey, what's happening in Houston on the election? What happened? Who's your new mayor?
I don't know. I've been on this call for the last hours.
Yeah. All right.
It's
none
probably,
of those, none of the mayor candidates are against the fracking and the stuff coming to Houston. None of them.
Yeah, just a distinction without a difference sometimes.
Okay.
All right. Sorry.
Meeting is adjourned, folks. Thank you all.
Good night. Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye, George.